Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is John Rickgarn, your host, as always, of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. And we actually have our first returning guest to the podcast, Rachel Jensen of ECI Development. So you may remember her from our first episode where we had discussed foreign residency, real estate in foreign countries such as Belize, Panama, Nicaragua. Belize, I can highly attest to. I visited in June of 2021. Highly recommend it to anyone that wants to get away for a little vacation. And also, they speak English there too, so you don't need to brush up on your Espanol or any other languages that you might muddle through. Now, today I wanted to bring Rachel back on for another investment opportunity that ECI has had for many years for their investors that has gained a lot of traction and a lot of interest. Now, typically there's two attributes I like to see an investment that I like to share with my listeners. One, that you don't have to be accredited, you don't have a huge net worth or make $200,000 or $300,000 a year. And two, don't need a huge capital outlay to get started. You know, don't need to plunk down $100,000 to get started in this. So this particular investment that ECI offers actually covers both of those. You don't have to be accredited and is a relatively low capital outlay. So with that, Rachel, welcome back to the show. And maybe you can give us a little hint as to what this investment is.
Of course. Well, thank you for having me back, John. I appreciate it. And I don't know, for those of you who are watching the video component of this, if you're not just listening on the podcast, behind me may be a little bit of a giveaway of what it is we're going to be talking about. And for those of you who aren't sure what the heck I'm talking about, there's a wooden furniture set behind me on my background display here. And that wooden furniture is actually made of teak.
Okay.
Yes. And teak is a really incredible hardwood. It's a luxury hardwood. It's been around for centuries, used in many different facets of construction, boating, woodworking, furniture. So there's a lot of usage for teak. But what we're going to talk about today is how you can be the owner of a teak parcel. You own a teak parcel. It's titled in your name. Okay. And then you receive the profits, any profits that are made from the teak when it sells. So it's a long harvest time, about 25 years. I know for most investors, it's a little bit more challenging to think in a 25-year cycle, especially for those of you who are invested in real estate. In real estate, you're getting a monthly check if you have a long-term rental, mm-hmm. or if you have a vacation rental, you're getting it as soon as the guest leaves. And so it's a little bit more challenging for people to think in 25-year terms, but it is certainly something that I recommend you do. Look at your portfolio in terms of diversification of asset classes, time frame of your investment, when will it mature? And for a long time, the ultra wealthy have been investing in timber generally. So teak, I don't want to get too much into the details. It's a little overview to get you interested, and then we'll be going through more of the details over the next 30 minutes here.
Sure. Wow, that's a lot to unpack there. So yes, if you can't see, and if you're just listening to the audio version, we are talking about teak, which is obviously a hardwood that can be made into, obviously, like the chairs that are sitting behind Rachel on her screen right there, but are also used in like decking for boats and yachts and other things. So maybe I'll just take a step back, Rachel, and maybe obviously we covered teak as a wood, but I think there's maybe just a little bit more to it. But what exactly is teak, or what makes kind of teak so unique or so special?
So teak, it's a hardwood. It's harder than mahogany. There's another hardwood similar to teak that's called ipé. But okay. It's a very, very strong hardwood, and it makes it a very unique wood because of the fact that it is so durable. It can withstand a lot of elements that other lumber cannot. So It's resistant to fire, rot, termites, bugs, anything that people really consider a risk when they're thinking about using timber or lumber in construction or whatever it is that they're going to use it for. And especially from the ownership side, when you're owning trees, something to factor is what are the risks. And that's really one of the big things that makes teak so attractive is the fact that it is resistant to all those factors. Like I mentioned, the fire, rot, fungus, termites, bugs, anything that you really consider to be a risk. And because it is so durable, it is pretty expensive to get any teak products, the own teak products. They also last for a very, very long time. You know, there's minimal requirement to keep it looking good, you know, just clean it up every now and again. But otherwise, it really does maintain the beautiful color that it has to it. So it's very durable and it's resistant to a lot of factors that a lot of people consider risks when they're looking at ownership of lumber or just even lumber products generally.
Okay. And as I recall, you had mentioned with the durability of teak, as I recall, was it the late 80s, early 90s? I can't remember when they had started or they found the Titanic that had sunk back in the early 1900s. And I believe there was some old furniture they had pulled that was made of teak. And I mean, obviously it, you know, had ocean grime, fungus, whatever growing on it. But I mean, they just cleaned it up and it was pretty much like brand new after that.
Yep, it's true. And it's in a museum now, but they took this chaise chair that was on the Titanic out of the water, cleaned it up, restored it, and it looks awesome. And I think that if it can withstand the elements of the sea, it's a pretty darn good hardwood. I live on the beach here in Belize, and I can tell you that everything is getting damaged by the sea. So when you're able to see a wooden piece that just withstands the elements and time, it's really quite remarkable. But it's true. And you'll tend to find a lot of teak used in boats as well. So not just the furniture component, but the decking of boats. For example, if anyone's listening and they're a boater, Chris Craft Boats, one of their trademark types of construction of the boat is teak with teak. And it's a really nice hardwood there. But there's just a lot of different ways that you can utilize it in your everyday life, whether it's the furniture that you have outside or it's the decking. Beams, even. I live in the tropics and we do tend to see the construction of more luxury homes integrate teak into them. So whether it's the floors, the beams, or even the outdoor palapa beams, palapas are like the little thatched roof huts, but to have posts, you know, they're typically made out of teak, at least in luxury places because they're expensive, but it withstands the elements. So it's really a remarkable wood, and it's not something that we just created or fabricated in a lab. It's been around for a long time. Obviously, you talked about it being on the Titanic. So it's been used for a really, really long time. And I think when people are looking at investments, it's important to understand the history of this product. And how long has it been around? Is it something proven in the marketplace? Is it new in the marketplace? But obviously, teak has had a very long history of use.
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma. At The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
Yeah, as an investment, and I mean, obviously there's, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of things people can invest in now, from, you know, Dogecoin to real estate to NFTs. Now with teak especially, how has that held up as an investment per se, or how has the demand been even with, say, you know, the short recession with COVID back in March of 2020, the Great Recession, and then, you know, 20 years ago with the dot-com bust? Were there any, you know, bumps along the way, or how has teak performed in, you know, recessionary times?
Sure. So the finished product of teak, so when you harvest it, you process it from logs to lumber. Lumber has done incredible over COVID here. Okay. I mean, a lot of people doing those at-home projects, a lot of construction projects that are happening. So the price of timber has just increased across the board, and teak is the same. Typically, teak prices increase on average of about 5.5% per year.
Oh, wow.
I don't know the exact figure of what it was over the last year and a half, but it was more than 5.5%, which was pretty incredible to see. But, you know, understanding the risks of an investment is important. And I do want to talk about what happened over COVID, because every year the trees need to be clean. The plantation needs to be clean. So what we do is we the underbrush, we trim the branches down because you want from about 2/3 down to be clear of branches so the trees grow straight. So during COVID, when these countries, well, in Panama specifically, the country that we're in was in complete lockdown, people couldn't leave the house. And so we weren't able to do the cleaning of the farm. And so that, I mean, that's fine, but that just means that we got a little delayed on when the harvest will be. So typically a good harvest is about 25 years from the time you plant the saplings to the time that you're harvesting. It's a 25 year period. That's the best time value of money. Now, because we weren't able to get out and clean the farm and do those trimmings, what that means is we're just set back a year on when the actual harvest is. So the harvest will still happen and the trees are still growing. In fact, they'll probably be even a little bit larger at that point because they had an extra year of growth. But that would be really one of the major risks when you're looking at timber and teak is that time component of it. You know, I would never guarantee you that we're going to have the teak done harvested at the 25th year on December 14th, whatever 25 years is from now. I'm not going to guarantee that because I can't guarantee that because there are unknown factors like if COVID or whatever this unknown factor is that prevents us from trimming and cleaning. But the nice part is that it's a hard asset. So you have it, you know, it's still there after age 3, it's resistant to fire, rot, termites, bugs, all of those considerations that we talked about before. So you really don't have to worry about it. It grows. We have a property management company that takes care of everything and they make sure that it is still growing. So that would really be the one risk if we're not able to clean or we have a delay in the harvest. So just bear that in mind, just think generally long-term for this. And then the other risk could be if there's just absolutely no market for teak. I don't foresee happening since it's been around for such a long time and it's proven, the worth of it is really proven. But that would be the two considerations that I would mention. And, you know, the worst case scenario is we just let the trees continue to grow. They'll grow for another year, grow for another 6 months. And, you know, think about a tree. Every day it's growing larger in size. And so what that means at the end of the day, at the end of the harvest, is it's growing in value. Every time it's growing in size, it's growing in value because that means there are more board feet at the end of the day to sell. And so when we're selling it, we measure the amount of board feet in the tree by the board foot price, multiply that, and then that's how you get your projected return. And so we have a whole business plan that goes through this. We've been in this industry for over 2 decades at this point. Wow. We work with incredible property managers who their only job is to know the teak industry. They plant the saplings, they manage thousands of hectares of teak, but they are just incredible at what they do. And so we've been working with them since the beginning of our teak farms too.
Okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now you had mentioned, and maybe this is one of the risk factors there from when the teak tree is, you know, a sapling or just planted at that point to age 3, it's a little bit more susceptible to, you know, bugs or fire or rot, et cetera. Once it hits age 3, that's when it's more hardened, I guess, for lack of a better word, resist those elements.
Exactly. And so prior to age 3, there are extra precautions that are taken, firewalls around the farm, insecticide used, but after age 3, it's resistant to it. And that's one of the neat factors about teak is because it is so hard and oily, it's protecting itself really from the factors. It is interesting. I'm an investor in teak. I just think it's an incredible opportunity. I grew up in New York. I live in Belize now, spent some time in Nicaragua, but my family, when I was first talking to them about teak, they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. We don't understand why you ever want to invest outside of the stock market, something guaranteed. Yeah. And finally, about 5 years into me working with the company, I've been with the company about 10 years, about 5 years working with the company, they came down to Panama, which is where we have one of our teak farms.
Okay.
And lo and behold, we just happened to have a teak tour at the same time. So I put my parents on the bus for the teak tour. It took us 3 hours to get out to the plantation. They're getting to know everyone, talking to everyone. And then they see the teak trees. They're hugging the teak trees and they finally got it. And about 6 months later, it took my mom about 6 months of going through the numbers. The business plan was like, all right, we want one. And I was like, yes, they get the diversification element. It's awesome. But it's just a neat way to invest in something a little different. And you know, like you said before, the investment numbers aren't so crazy. They're not so pie in the sky. They start at about $7,000 and then work up from there, depending on the age of the farm.
Okay.
But you know, for me, I'm on the younger side of our investors, but we have investors. Our youngest was 21 at the time that he invested in the farm. Our oldest was about 94. The 21 year old, Yeah, right. The 21-year-old, he didn't have a he doesn't have a family. He's not married. He did it because he'll see presumably three harvests from it. And then the 94-year-old did it for his great-grandchildren. So he purchased teak plots for each of his great-grandchildren,
Okay. Titled
their name. And then when they have these big life events that are happening, you know, maybe they're going to college, getting their master's, buying a house, starting a family, having a wedding, then they'll have this chunk of money coming in from the harvest. And they'll still own the land once we do the harvest, which is the neat part. It's your land. You get title to it. You own the trees on the land. Once we harvest, we replant and do it again. And then it continues within the family or with the owner there for generations. So it's a neat benefit to it, is that generational wealth stewardship that, you know, typically we don't really think about until we're a little bit older, because we are, you know, thinking about leaving something for the kids or grandkids or friend or whomever your loved ones are. But it's just a neat element to it.
Okay. And now, did I catch there that the beginning, or shall I say the entry point to get into this, is $7,000? And what does $7,000 get? Is that one tree, one sapling, or?
Great question. So the entry is about $6,880. Let's just round up to $7,000.
Oh, we'll say seven. Yep.
Yeah, round up to $7,000. That's a little bit easier. And so you get one parcel. One parcel is considered 1/4 acre. And Okay. Each 1/4 acre, at the time that we plant, when we plant, we have about 110 trees on the parcel. And then that gets cut down to, actually, it's a little bit more. It's about 110. Then we cut down and we end up thinning, and we end up with about 23-24 trees per parcel. So there's Okay. A lot of trimming that happens and thinning that happens over that 25-year period. There's a formula to this, making sure the trees are growing straight, making sure they're starting to grow in diameter, which is why we overplant in the beginning. We overcrowd, so Okay. The trees are straight. And then at age 12, 18, 20, we have what we call thinnings, which is when we remove the trees that aren't growing as well as the others. Age 25 is when we do that final harvest. So there are some payouts that happen over that 25-year period, so you don't have to wait until 25 to see something.
Sure.
At age 12, 18, and 20, you see the thinnings.
Okay.
But they're your trees. And then when we thin, it gets down to about 24, 25 trees at the end of the day. So that is our newborn. We have newborn parcels. So that means they're brand new. The saplings that go in the ground when you decide to own. And then from there, it's a 25-year period to the harvest. And that is the newborn. We have that in Panama and also in Nicaragua. And then in addition to that, we have 1-year-old parcels in Nicaragua. Those started about 7,500. And then we have, right now, there's 16-year-old parcels, and those started about a little bit under 19,000.
Okay.
And so you were mentioning before, like mentioning NFTs and all this space. I love the crypto space. I just think it's something that's so interesting and different. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we started accepting cryptocurrency as forms of payment.
Oh, wow.
So it's a neat way for people who capitalize on this crypto movement, who want to use the crypto, right? That's a fun part of the crypto investing, is being able to use it. People can use that for their investments in the teak. So Okay. Just as a quick recap, newborns, they start about 7,000. We have the 1-year-old in Nicaragua that is about 7,500. And then we have in Panama, the 16-year-old, and that's about 19,000 from there.
Okay.
And just as a, I don't think I mentioned this before in our chat, and sorry about that, guys, but the teak farms are located in Panama and Nicaragua. Panama and Nicaragua, they're two countries where teak grows awesomely. In addition to that, with these countries, there are certain benefits if you invest a certain amount of money into the countries, like residency benefits, for example. But these are two countries that are just great from the investment perspective.
Okay.
And we've been working in Panama for about 23, 24 years at this point, and then Nicaragua for about 20 years. We've been working there as a company. If you guys listened to the first show that Don and I did, mm-hmm. we were talking about the real estate there in Latin America. And so one of our core competencies as a business is real estate development. Been in Latin America region for over 2 decades at this point. And then we started the teak about 23, 24 years ago in Panama. So we've been around for some time.
Yes, definitely a lot of experience with that. So now you had touched base on with the, you know, residency options for, say, like Nicaragua and Panama. And obviously, mm-hmm. I know this can really get down to the weeds, but maybe just high level, you know, in addition to having an asset that can, you know, grow and produce for decades and, you know, even kind of leave a legacy, if you will, for your family and descendants, if one were to invest, what are the possible additional benefits, like, you know, whether Nicaragua or Panama that you invest in, you know, could that lead to residency options if someone was looking for that?
Yes, absolutely. And so that was actually one of the big reasons why we surveyed our plantation in Panama into smaller parcels for individual ownership, is because there was a residency program there that you could pair up ownership of land and get residency from it. So the program has changed slightly in Panama. Okay. The investment minimum went up last year. So now the minimum threshold for that residency, it's called the Friendly Nations Visa, is $200,000 invested in land.
Okay.
But we also, because our land is certified reforested, which means we commit to replanting, one of the really nice benefits is that you can be a part of the reforestation visa, which is a minimum of $100,000 invested in land. So that residency is great as well. And then in Nicaragua, the minimum threshold there for residency is less. It's $30,000 invested in land. And in Nicaragua, I'm gonna try not to get into the weeds too much here, but in Nicaragua, you have to have a Nicaragua company, and then that Nicaragua company will own the teak. And
okay.
So that's how that residency works. And we have an attorney who will take care of everything and work with you to make sure you get the Nicaragua company set up. And then from there, you'll be the owner of that company, and then that company will own the teak. But we've had a lot of people do it. It's pretty straightforward. For those of you who are newer to the international investment world, one thing I do want to say, because it's always good to know these things ahead of time, is it's slow. Like, paperwork process is slow. Residency process is slow. It just takes time. And getting titles, for example, it's slow. It takes time. Panama, I think, is the worst offender, where it's about 18 to 24 months from the time that you submit your power of attorney to the time you actually get your title.
Yeah.
So you just go into it, understand that there's nothing wrong with it. Your countersigned documents, purchase agreements act as the deed that gets registered with the lands department. So, you know, people, they know that the sale has happened, but you actually getting the physical deed takes time. So that's just the one thing I wish, you know, when people are just investing in Latin America, that's the one thing I like to share up front, because we go in with expectations of what it's like compared to our experience in North America. So
sure,
a heads up there.
Yeah. And I can attest to that. In early 2020, I invested in a coffee parcel in Panama. And of course, then COVID hit 2 months after that. So like you said, the country was shut down. So I think, you know, fingers crossed, this year we'll finally get deed for the land that we've purchased almost 25 months ago at the time of this recording.
I was going to say, though, that's pretty darn good, even because of COVID. With the COVID, all the offices shut down for a couple months. So that's pretty good timing.
So, and one little little tidbit I'll just kind of throw in. This is from my personal experience. So as you can probably imagine, I am invested in teak as well. If you are looking to invest in this, say in a self-directed retirement account, I would personally recommend going Nicaragua. Panama has a lot of extra hoops to jump through as far as, you know, an international, was it an IBC or LLC version that Panama has, and extra, you know, hoops to jump through and everything, where Nicaragua, it's a little bit more streamlined, where they're a little more open to ownership and, you know, trust entities, which basically an IRA is. So just a little tidbit out there for anyone that's maybe listened to episode 5 of, you know, specialized trust with self-directing your IRA. If you're wanting to pursue this investment in an IRA or 401k, Nicaragua might be your better bet than going through Panama.
I would highly, highly recommend that as well. We've seen people who were so insistent on Panama with their IRA. And so what it just happens is there are a ton of extra costs that are associated. And if your investment is $7,000, then you have to spend $2,000 to get the corporation set up, and then another $2,000 to register it to do business in Panama. The numbers just start to not make sense at that point. And there's the annual registration. So I would say the best thing to do is look at Nicaragua. And I do want to mention, if you are looking for residency or planning to get residency at some point, you cannot own in your IRA.
Right.
That does have to be in your personal name. We have had some people who've invested in their IRA and like, all right, we want to get residency. You know, years later, we want to get residency, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way. So just a quick heads up there.
So good. So well, wrapping up here, Rachel, and again, I want to thank you for coming again on the show and sharing a lot of information on teak. And I will have all this information here in the show notes, as well as various links. If anyone listening to this were interested in, you know, investing in this, you know, teak parcel, or maybe just want to get some additional information, what's the best way to reach out and get some more info on that?
Yeah. So right under this, there should be a link if you're watching from the video perspective. Click that link. If you're not listening via link, I would say you could just reach out to us, info@teakhardwoods.com, TEAKHARDWOOD.com, teakhardwoods.com. And then just let us know that you heard about us through the podcast here. You can mention John Rickgarn's name or the name of the podcast, Freedom and Wealth Nexus, or, you know, however you want to just put Freedom Podcast or Wealth Podcast, we'll get it. But I do want to know that you guys heard about us through the podcast, because we will offer special discounts for folks who tune in through the podcast here. So just, of course, mention that to us and we'll make sure that you get that special discount applied. But we do have great resources. I understand that the teak world is probably new to many of you. So we have resource teak resource guides. So what teak looked like in the past, how it's doing currently, what we expect it to do in the future. We also go more into the buyers of teak and understanding that marketplace. I think that's important. We have business plans. We have residency overviews, why you would want to become a resident of a country. So just feel free to reach out to us, even handbooks for those countries, Panama handbook, Nicaragua handbook, because if you haven't invested there before, or even if you haven't visited before, it's good to know a little bit more about the country before you invest. And then if anybody wants more information about us, obviously doing due diligence on the people that you're investing with is really important. So we can send you our whole business plan so you can see what our company's motto is. You can also just, you know, ask us about our history and whatever other questions you want to know. We have a really incredible team of consultants who work with us who really want to understand your goals, and then we'll help you decide from there what opportunity may make sense for you. So I would say reach out to us, get the information. That's the best thing you can do. Educating yourself like you're doing is awesome, and we do hope to hear from you.
Sounds good. And I'll have that email address and link in the show notes, and then also below the video if you're watching this on YouTube. So, well, again, Rachel, it's been great to have you on the show, and hoping listeners learn some more about, shall we say, another alternative investment that might fit their needs and their portfolio, and look forward to having you on the show in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.